Okay. We're going to start off this morning, since it's Memorial Day Eve, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start there. And what we're going to switch from Hebrews. What made me think about this was obviously because the holiday is coming up, Memorial Day. Tomorrow. And I mean, do you know what it is, right? Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Fallen soldiers.
What's that?
Fallen soldiers.
Fallen soldiers. That's
not Veterans Day.
It's not Veterans Day, but yeah, this is the day that they designated to recognize all those who are killed in any war. Mm-hmm. But the original it was designated because of the Civil War. So after the Civil War was over, then they instituted, it was called, before it was called Memorial Day, it was, I think it was called Celebration Day, something like that. And so it was ironic because I was thinking that, you know, the Civil War was intra-country war. You know, that was
infighting.
And I thought, you know, that's, why would you want to celebrate that? Unless the fighting that was done was unjust. Where, and it was. You have the what it was, the Confederate States against the Union States. And they were, there was other issues, but one of the main issues, you know, was what?
Slavery.
And it was where you are, have a man in servitude to another man. And I just thought about that. I thought it was ironic that that they would celebrate that. And when I was thinking that, I just thought of the Wizard of Oz. You remember when they said, the witch is dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead. But I don't know why my mind went to that. But I was thinking of that. For us, we have a Memorial Day. What the Lord told us to remember, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, and I'm just using this as a starting point. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. What's the matter? So, you know, look at that and you don't see it in there, but he says, as often as you do this, you do it what? In remembrance of me. And it's a memorial. And it's not a remembrance of that he failed, that he was defeated. But it's just the opposite. It's a remembrance in that he was what?
Victorious.
And that the battle that he fought was won. And although he did have he had an internal battle too, didn't he? Because he had his will, and he had what? The Father's will. He could have always went and defaulted to what he wanted. Hold your hand there. Look at, say it again.
Eating and drinking,
All right. I'm glad you remember that. She was saying something about one of the previous lessons about the eating and drinking that was noted in here. It's just a celebration for a victory. So.
And that's a pattern throughout the entire Bible.
But what was Matthew? No, John. I'm sorry. I think it's John. Now, I hope I'm in the right book. If I'm not, you guys could help me out. Where he says this, this commandment, John 10. Now, notice this. He's in 17, John 10, 17. He says, therefore, well, let's go back to verse 14. Okay, 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might what?
Take it
again. No man taketh it from me, but I what? I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What does that tell you?
A lot.
He said, right. And he's letting us know, say it again.
He's in control.
He says, what I'm doing, I'm fully aware that I don't have to. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he tells Paul, he says, I've given you this by revelation. That the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, said, this cup is the New Testament. The New Testament. In my blood. Now, keeping with Memorial Day, we know that was a war, and the war, the main issue of the war was what?
Repossession.
It was freedom. That was the main issue. Okay?
You're talking about Civil War.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yes, right.
Well,
any war.
Yeah.
Any war, you know what? It's about
religious freedom. You really want to get down there?
It's about
religious.
And it's, we'll say that, it's control. of course, what is religious freedom? You know what? It's free to do what? It's about worship and serving your choice. Right? So, he said, now, the New Testament, we just go back to this New Testament. The New Testament in his blood. Now, when you think of the New Testament, what do you should think of?
Death, burial,
and resurrection. Right? Okay.
15.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15. But what's the purpose of the New Testament?
To replace the ineffectual Old Testament.
To replace the Old Testament.
Get rid of the law.
Get rid of the law. Which was what?
Slavery.
It was bondage. Yeah. Right. Bondage to? To the old man. To the flesh. He's what kept us from what?
Worshipping and
serving. Right. Or, you know what? He didn't want us to be free to worship and serve the true and living God. Now, he says, when we talk about the Lord, he says, no man taketh my life. I lay it down. He said, because I care. Now, I'm paraphrasing it. Because I care. Now, you think about this. That was in the Gospels. You know who the primary subjects were?
Israel.
It was not us.
Right. We were strangers and foreigners.
Right. We were aliens, strangers, dogs. He said, and really, if he was there, he'd say, well, the fight that I'm fighting, it's really not for you. It's not for your freedom. Paul declares that to us by revelation. Right? Mm-hmm. So he says,
the Lord said, I do this for many. The revelation, Paul said, he did it for all.
And the Gentiles right. weren't under the bondage, like, because they weren't under the law. Most of them, right?
They weren't even.
They
weren't even Gentiles. When I say Gentiles, we weren't even in the picture, because even those that he said, I lay down my life for what?
My sheep. We were the Gentiles.
Not the dogs. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep.
I have been told by Scholastic, I believe, that we are never referred to as sheep.
No.
Never.
No, we aren't referred to as sheep. And this
was his other sheep here.
That you have
Northern tribe.
Right. You have Israel was separated into the northern and southern tribes. And that's what he said, you know, you had 10 tribes and then 2 that split. Or 2 that stayed, 2 that split. And that's when he came to make those two separate tribes one again. I know that says 12, but it's 12 was the whole nation together, gathered together as one. So that's why he said sheep of an other fold. Now, we see the old New Testament. He came, he said, this is my blood, the New Testament in my blood. So when he's telling Paul that, he's telling him, this is what I want you to remember. It's when I died, I gave my body and my blood for your what? For your freedom. And you see, I think about the Jews. They said, well, we never been in bondage to any man. Do you remember they said that? And he said, we Abraham's seed. We never been in bondage to any man.
You rub your father the devil.
Now, John, or somewhere in John, I can't remember the verse, the Lord said this, he that committed sin is the what? He said, he that committed sin is a servant of sin. How many have sinned?
Mm-hmm.
All have sinned. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Well, we already know that we are, well, sinners to start with. We are all, he said, all are under what? All are under sin. You know what that means, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, that just Adam came and...
Yeah, they're all under sin. Not just its guilty sentence, but you're under his power. You know why you sinned?
Because you're a sinner.
Because you're what?
Sinner.
And you're a sinner because you have what? Because that's what you're under is power. You're the servant of sin. The old man. Now we think this. Well, what is sin anyway?
Missing the mark.
You know what? We are missing the mark. We always think the worst, don't we? Yeah, we think all the base things. We think, murder.
The Bible says the plowing of the wickedness.
Flip back to chapter 1. You still got Romans? You got Romans? Still got Romans? Flip back to chapter 1. Anything that's not of faith is sin. I like that.
She got it right out of the Bible.
She got it right out of the Bible. You know what? Yeah, you know why I like that definition? Faith comes by what?
Hearing by the word of God.
So anything that's not of what?
God.
Anything that's not of the Word of God. Let's see. Let me erase this. Anything that's... What's the Word of God?
God.
Okay.
Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. What are we trying to fill in the blanks for? What's the question?
Right. You can say that today. Anything that's not scripture and that now rightly divided is sin. So when I say anything that's not of scripture is God without faith is what? Impossible to what?
Please him.
Without faith, you cannot make the mark. You cannot meet the requirement.
All your works are like
right. So he's, look, I'll tell you what I want. When I tell you what I want, then you're responsible or require, your requirement is to do what?
To read the scripture,
but you're to do it, and you can't say, "Well, I didn't know." That's why he gave the law. Is tell you what you don't know. I'll write it down for you.
With my finger.
I'll write it down for you.
And I'll preserve it
to prove that you don't have what it takes. And he writes it down. And it can't be done. They still what? They still sin. Why?
Because they're sinners.
Because they're all under sin, under power. They are all what?
All under the law.
They're all servants of sin. Nobody's free yet.
Because they all come from Adam.
Right? Nobody's free. In Adam, all die. He says, where are you at? Romans? Verse 1. Let's go back to 1. We were talking about sin. He says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things, as verse 128, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Where is that at? I mean, where's that's on the inside, isn't it? Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you see you on this list? You don't. I would say you don't have to admit it. But yes. Yeah. You don't have to, but you can look through that list, and if you're honest, you can get two or more out of that list. If you're honest with yourself. Two or more. But all you need is what?
One.
All you need is one. And he said this. He gave them over. If you give someone over, you give them over to the what? To the power. Which you are already just manifesting what was already in you. So we know that they're all, we got that Romans, now we go back to 6, Romans 6. We all agree that they're under sin. They're the servants of sin. They're slaves to sin. In Romans 6, verse 15. And we'll go back and pick up some other things. What? 6:15. Yes. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey? Whether of sin, what? Unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. We just restated what we just found out, that when you sin, you are proving that you're what? The servant of sin.
So everybody's a servant of
somebody.
That's what Bob Dylan said.
That's what I don't know about that one, but
it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but I serve somebody.
Now that's, you can say, I can quit whenever I want to, or I don't have to. How many times you heard that? I got this. I know what I'm doing. Never heard about it. You may have said that. I've said that. And you say, really? Okay. Romans chapter 7. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Notice that's a small s, right? Okay. And not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. You know what concupiscence is?
That's what?
Lust.
Lust. You know what? I'll give you you know how you can figure out that word?
Fake love.
Fake love. That's you know what Cupid, you know when you see the little
cherub
with the bow?
Yeah.
You are right, you think of what?
Right.
You think, I like, you say fake love, right? Only thing, Paul, he calls it in another passage, inordinate affection. Not just affection, inordinate, out of order. Like Johnny said, lust. What'd you say, Bob? You said?
I said covet, miss. I don't know what.
Wait, Bob, by the.
It's in the commandments. You don't
cover
your neighbor good. You don't
cover
your neighbor's wife.
Yeah, I like that part. That's right. Where it's inordinate affection. And that's where you, Cupid, going awry. You can say that. He says, verse, he says.
Wait a minute. So what you're saying is the word?
Lust.
Word?
It's just lust.
It's lust. Is what
right.
Okay.
You can use that. Verse, we're at 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein you were what?
Hell.
What is that?
Slave.
That's slavery. That's bondage, isn't it?
Yeah.
The law. Held you in bondage. Because of your sin. He says, what then, what shall we say then? Verse 7, is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the what? Commandment. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. So wait a minute. And you use it, we use the example. You don't know how bad you can miss the mark until somebody shows you what the mark is.
Well, that's what the Ten Commandments were, something to show that you couldn't do.
Right. And that's just the 10. That's just the 10. Start with this. Just start with this one. You think, oh, I'm okay.
Like the rich young ruler.
So he gives you the first one is what?
How much shall I take from thee? How shall I have any false doubt before? And you shall not take my name in vain.
Is that right?
Thou shalt have the Lord. You shall love the Lord with all your heart.
That's it.
Love
that's the first one. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul.
Number two is about false
God. Now, you know what? You can go down. Look, if you can't even enumerate them, if you can't even list them, you know what?
You don't keep them.
You're not gonna keep them.
You don't.
You're not right. Listen, you're not gonna keep them if you can't even list them. The Lord, he was so serious about this. He said, listen, he said, I want you to memorize these. I want you to give them to your sons so they can memorize them. And as a matter of fact, he says, you put these things on a band and wrap them around your head so you won't forget. And when the, if you remember the first one, you won't forget the rest of them. And he said, for the even for the king, he said, when the king sits on his throne, I want you scribes to give him a copy of the law. So he can do it, and then he can teach the people.
Well, if you study Islam, they find out that 7-year-old is supposed to know the Quran by heart. That's how much they teach it to do continuously over and over and over again.
Yeah.
They memorize the Quran. They don't even have to look at the book. They can just spot it off even before they start going to high school.
And see, that that's what God's intention was for the Jews. By the time they were Jesus' age, they should have been about their father's business like he was. Just a side note, do you think Joseph taught him the law?
Sure.
You think so?
I mean, if he was a godly enough man to listen and understand about, you know, who this child was, why would he deviate from that belief, that level of belief?
He's studying out there while he's tending those sheep.
Well, I will say this. Just that was just a side note. They did keep all the feast days.
Yeah.
They circumcised them. They did everything that the law required for them to do while... at least what was recorded in Luke. So you know they were observers. At the very least, they were observers. And but anyway, but the sin, it says sin taken occasion by the commandment. What it did, it look at verse 8, we're back at 8 again. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment did what?
Deceived
me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. That sin, by the commandment, might become what?
Exceedingly sinful.
Now, that was a lot. Now, he's saying this, like to Johnny Carson, you are so bad. And he's like, how bad was I? He said, I gave you a list of things to do. And when you got that list, you did the exact opposite. He said, well, that's... But he said, not that sin by the commandment, sin became sinful. He said the sin becomes what?
Exceeding.
How bad is that?
Pretty bad.
Now you keep that in mind. Now it's exceeding sinful.
It exceeds sin.
Exceed, huh?
It exceeds sin.
And let's see,
that's where sin becomes transgression.
Deceitful. You know, now, see, you have the, right, you have the, it's in you. That's what Romans 5 that says this, that God had to prove that man was a sinner, even though he had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. That is, he had a commandment which took the sin to a transgression. That was a written or oral commandment that Adam broke. And he manifest that he was, that sin passed on to us. Now, this is what I want to remember this, is sin is exceeding sinful, it's deceitful. That is, you can think, you know what, I could do that. I could do this and I can please God.
In my own strength.
Or, which is, I would say, in my own understanding, which is your own strength. How many times you heard this? I treat everybody right. God knows my heart. He knows that I love everybody. You never heard that?
Yeah. That's called self-deceit.
But it's still what? Deceitful. You can have a whole list of things. Yeah, I'm sincere. God is. What about these people that you take the word of God and you show it to them, and then they say, "Well, I don't believe that. I'm gonna stick with this because this is what I believe." It's still whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can get 10 believers and ask them, why you do what you do? Give me a verse for that.
Say it again.
You can get 10 believers and ask them, why do you practice what you practice or not practice?
Dead.
Say it again.
Faith is not works with dead. Because they think it's all right to do that.
But if you ask them, like, give me some verses, or give me a verse, why, give me some scriptural.
I can do all.
Back up. So, but the next verse. Next verse is what I want here. He says, "For we know that the law is what?
Spiritual.
But I am what?
Carnal.
Sold under sin." That's any sinner that you run into. You might get the on the scale. You might get the base sins, or you might get, like Karen said, you might get the self-righteous sins. You know what I mean? When I say that, you might get the base sins. That is where he just...
Yeah, you're just a reprobate. He's reprobate.
Like Paul said, of the baser sort, where he is definitely serving the flesh in a immoral way.
Right.
Or you get the guy up here that's, you know what? His sins are mental.
Self-deceived.
His sins are... What's another word I want to use here?
Spiritual.
Yeah, I take that, Johnny. That's spiritual, because he's still serving in his dead spirit. You know, he's doing good works. He's being good. But it's still what? It's still sin.
Well, I mean, think about all the people in works-based religion. They're out there doing all these wonderful things that, as the world defines it.
On paper.
Yeah.
Because, look,
how do you do good works?
You're still... Say it again.
How do you do good works without sinning?
How do you do good works without sinning?
Yeah.
You mean for a believer or an unbeliever?
Believer.
How do you do good works without us?
I misunderstood.
Oh, no. Self-righteous.
Okay.
Right, this is still an unbeliever.
Okay.
Seek.
Even a righteous person can do it, and they're just doing it to be seen. Like, look at me, I'm still serving.
Right.
So.
Do you feel good if you do good works? I don't know if you believe or you don't.
Well, I mean, even...
Did this guy do good? Did Cain?
He thought he would.
Did he do good?
Sure, he presented a lovely sacrifice.
God said,
what he wanted.
He brought an offering, but it wasn't according to what?
The world.
It wasn't according to... So... His righteousness was self-righteousness.
Yeah.
It wasn't based on, and it was just a manifestation of what I want. And this quickly turned to that.
Yeah, went to murder.
Because I erased it. Sin is that deceitful. Is you think I'm okay. But all it takes is the right set of circumstances, and you'll do anything that any other person would do. Because you are what?
Servant
of sin. That's why he said this. It was in you. It was in me. But while it was in me, he said it revived. The law revived it. Well, where was it before the law revived it?
It was there, but the law just shined a big old spotlight on it.
They didn't know the word.
What's the opposite of revive?
Dead.
Dormant. I like that. Dormant. All he's waiting for is
catalyst.
Right. In any circumstances could be combustible for the old man.
Right.
Now.
You know, I was brought up for 40 years as a Catholic. And sin is sin. But if you take the base sin, they call that venial sin. And it's just like a little bit of sin. Take the base sin, the one that will send you to hell, it's called mortal sin. Now, the point is, are you forgiven? Well, you go every Friday, you go see the priest, and he says, I absolve you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and say seven Hail Marys, and you're forgiven. Alright? So,
right.
But if you have mortal sin on your soul, without being forgiven by the priest, you're going to hell. That's what we were taught.
And you know what? And that's their own scale that they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Lord said. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, said, "This cup is the New Testament
in
my blood." He says, "This do ye as often as ye eat it. You do show the Lord's death till he come." He says, that's my body and my blood. You got this.
The big question out there, as far as believing is concerned, is how often is often? There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you how often is often.
That's if you're making communion a ritual.
It's not, right. That's what, I'll say it again.
It's not a commandment.
It's not a commandment.
Do it.
It's as often as what?
As often as you're doing it.
And it's not a ritual.
As often as you...
Remember.
See, no, this holiday, you know, we observe this once a year. There's some people that don't forget it. So you ride by somebody's house, and they've got the flag out there. They had a Confederate flag out there.
Okay.
Now, listen. and I'm not going to get stuck on this. How many even know what it's about?
Right.
Now, and some do.
And a lot of them, what they know isn't even true. It's redefined.
Now, I know this. They'll have the big issue at hand. That's what we recognize, and that's the heart of the matter, is it's still the servitude issue, the control. Now, the Lord said, he says, that often as you fly this flag, you make a remembrance of something. That's why people had a big uproar about it. I don't like this. That's why they want to take the statues down, because you know what? It reminds them of a servitude that they were in that shouldn't be today. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? 6:1. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Look. The next three words. What? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should what?
Walk
in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, knowing what? That our old man is what?
Crucified
with him, that the body of sin might be what? That henceforth you should not what? Okay, what body of sin? What does he mean, the body of sin? The old man. Whose old man? Whose old man? Whose old man? Whose old man?
Ours.
Whose old man?
Mine.
Yes. You had to make that personal. Because you will go around and then you're going to say, why Johnny doing that? Yeah. Not why am I doing that? Mm-hmm. You will see the old man in me, but you won't see the old man in you.
Not yourself.
He's deceitful like that. Because you will go around and you say, you know, I don't know why Mike would do that.
Devil made me do it.
And you shift it. But you never see the old man in you.
At least I'm not like that publican.
You get it?
Yeah.
So the Lord says, I want you to remember this. As often as you remember this, you show the Lord's death till he come. He said, listen, you were a slave to this. You were a slave to what?
Sin.
You were a slave to the old man, right? But now, he said, being made free from sin, verse 7, he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing what? That Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin
once.
But in that he liveth unto God. There's a passage in John, he said this. He was talking about, I think it was Herod, where he says, he heard he was doing miracles. And he said, tell that old fox, he said, that I work today and tomorrow. And the third day, he said, I shall be perfected. Okay, John. John. I wanted to say 7, but I can see it is not in 7. I just passed that. 13. No, that's not it. But that's a good one though. Hold that in your hand too. John 13.
What is
that? It says, go tell that fox. Maybe it was Luke. Let's see. We'll find it. Luke 13. Oh, I thought you said John 13:32. Luke. Wow, what a coincidence. One's in John 13:32. The other one's in Luke 13:32. Luke 13, looks at 31.
I think there's some synergy with the Bible?
A little bit.
The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet, what? Perish out of Jerusalem. No, you know what he's saying? He said, he said, you got to go because Herod's going to kill you. We just found out, he says, no man, what?
Take it
off. I lay it down.
And I take it up.
He said, this commandment. Now, was he scared of Herod?
No.
Remember they were walking through the Jews, when the Jews sought to kill him, he was at the feast days and all those things. And he said, and he passed through the midst of them because something the scripture said, because his hour had not come. For it was not his hour.
It's not part of the plan, so.
It's right. He said, nothing's going to happen until I want it to happen. John 13:32. He says, therefore, this is when Jesus eating dinner, and he gives the bag to Judas, and he says, go do what you're going to do. What was he going to do?
Betray
him. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. What? He said, no, I was thinking that. He said, listen, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. That's a lot of glorifies and glories in there, isn't it? You know what he's saying? He says the Son of Man is glorified right now. And through his life, he said the Son of Man is glorified. And he said this, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. That's the cross. And shall straightway what? Glorify him. Guess what that is? The resurrection. His whole life was glorified. Because he served him all the way through, even unto death, even the death of the cross. And after the cross, he was what? Highly exalted. When he said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Right? He goes through it and he said, "This is my son." And when he resurrects him, he says, "This day have I begotten thee." Now, what else? Where are we at here? He says, that's not the one I wanted. Well, it's not in there. But what I wanted was this. When he died unto sin, he liveth now what? Unto God. After his suffering through life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, he was raised from the dead. And the scripture said to walk in newness of life. Now, he that died, he said that he died unto sin once. Christ died unto sin once. What does that mean?
It means that all that stuff that took place with all the priests and all that, and all the gifts they were bringing up and so forth, and killing the animals and so forth, that's all done and over with.
It's all
time.
What?
It means it's all over.
It means the way he freed us, he said, "This won't happen again."
One and done.
I was telling the guys on Tuesday, I said, this is how you know your sins are taken care of. He died unto sin what? Once. He said, now that he lives, he said he liveth unto God. He's not, in the Hebrews, we're not back there yet. He says, it's impossible for those who are once enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance if they reject this sacrifice. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. When the Lord says, "Look, I took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed." When you trust him, he said, he said, "Whom the Son shall make free, he shall be free what?
Indeed."
Do you know he freed us indeed? Now, here's the closing part. Is why did he free us, completely free us, and yet he left the old man there? He left the suggestion. He let the old man
freedom,
still
freedom,
suggest.
Freedom of choice, freedom to serve, to worship.
Freedom?
To
worship
and
serve or not. That's why at the judgment
seat of Christ, the salvation issue is taken care of. It's a question of what we did with our salvation.
All right. What did you say,
Jenny? Timothy.
To grow. Okay. First Timothy. First Timothy. Wait a minute. Second Timothy. You know, I don't.
Yeah, what was the second?
Second Timothy. You know, I don't spend a lot of time. I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but I don't spend a lot of time thinking about my sin. Let me rephrase it. I don't spend a lot of time feeling guilty about things that I've done. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I don't care. I'm not saying that my desire is to walk worthy.
Press on towards tomorrow.
Right. Because I know that it's a what? The issue is settled. I don't go to God and like, oh God, please forgive me. I'll never do it again.
That's back to that self-deception.
Yeah. That's what, because the minute you entertain the old man, he'll say this. He'll say, listen, shouldn't have done that, Blake. Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. Tell God you're sorry. And you'll never do it again. I'm sorry, Lord. I'll never do it again. If he was there, he'd be, what?
No, he not.
Yes, you would. You know what? Yes, you will. Just the fact that you said, I'll never do it again, you're going to do it again. Because you're focusing now on your effort.
Yeah. You know, once again, remember what I'm saying. Every Friday you go to the priest and you lay out every one of your sins, right?
Right.
It's exhausting, right? So you're saying to yourself, well, good, I'm going to be clean as a whistle here. Come Sunday when I take communion, and all the rest of the week I can sin again because I'm going to go in there Friday and get my sin forgiven again. Mm-hmm. And that's the way people used to think.
And you know what? Those same things are on the list, aren't they?
Yep.
He probably look at your list and say, that again, Bob? Wow.
I mean, the priest knew me. I can tell you, I go into confession on Friday, and I might as well pull that curtain away. Because I said the same thing every Friday.
You know
exactly who I
was. Did you Xerox your list?
Yeah.
Like, here you go. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to make deals with God about what you won't do anymore because he's not keeping a list. You're free, he says, to walk in newness of life. And he said, if you walk in, this, back to the word again, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what I like, where in his grace, he has made it where this is the case. If you're really grateful for this, you're back to a point now where the Lord, where he gives you the commandment that he gives his son. He said, no man makes you sin. Like he told the Lord, no man take my life. I lay it down. I can take it up again. Look, no man makes you sin. You sin of yourself or not. Do you believe that?
Sure.
And you can say that. This commandment I have of my Father. Because think about this. If you said, Lord, I could not help it. I couldn't help it. What do you think he would say? Okay. Yeah, I understand. I didn't quite get it done. I know. I left.
I nailed it to the cross. You're going back to your old man. That's your choice.
No, he used all those words. He said, knowing this, knowing that, know this, know you not. And you couldn't go to him and say, yeah.
I bet you read.
I couldn't. Because you're telling him, you're telling the Father that what?
It wasn't completely provided.
It wasn't, the provision wasn't there.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough.
Blame him.
And that won't happen. That won't happen. 2 Timothy, last passage.
2 Timothy what?
2 Timothy 2. He says this, consider what I say, verse 7, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also what?
Live
with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, I like when he's writing to Timothy, this whole passage, the whole book, is about Timothy being a partaker of the suffering. I like what Perry said last week, is he's encouraging Timothy to stay in the battle, the service battle. See, the sin issue is gone. He freed Timothy. What's the penalty for desertion, Bob, in the military?
If it's in wartime, it's death.
It's death.
Right. If it's not in wartime, it's a court-martial.
Now, see, we're in wartime, spiritual wartime. And you know what's so funny? That Christ said this. He says, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, a saint who's not actively engaged, he says he's asleep. And but he says this, arise from the dead, the inactive.
Ineffectual.
Function.
You're functionally dead.
Now, he says, he that, if he suffer with him, we'll reign with him. That's where you get the motivation, so to speak, to not be the servant of sin. Is you recognize the freedom, you recognize what he has provided, and he says, now, you're not just free to wander around like if you're in wartime. We want to use you. God says, strap up and come on over here. And you can't say, I can't help it. Because he freed us. And that's why when he talks about remember, you show the Lord's death until he come. Remember these things. You remember the freedom that he's given us. Not just the freedom, but the power that he's given us. Freedom from sin and the guilt of it and the bondage of it. And then the power through the Spirit to serve. That's what the New Testament is. You do show that. He said, this is my body and blood of the New Testament. He says, this often that you do it in remembrance of me. So we think about in this coming up Memorial Day is they remember the fallen dead. Now, in our case, we remember the resurrected. Who? That's why he said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was what?
Was raised from the dead. According to my gospel.
Same fella. Same Jesus, he said, but he raised with power and glory after the suffering, after the sacrifice. And because he did that, God exalted him. So I know that was not Hebrews, but let me close out for the tape. And then we'll go. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray that we would remember these things as you have recorded them for our learning, for our understanding. And we just thank you for the sacrifice that the Lord has provided for us, that he has crucified our old man, that he was died, buried, and resurrected, that we might walk in newness of life. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. So. Now, when you read...